Queer Tango, Episode 20, Swinging It. Inspiration was the pure essence of being a performer, and having a creative mind was both a blessing, yet set an artist apart from the non-creative peers. The day-to-day business of going to work, being a functional staff member, and staying upon this regimental institutional way of life had always proven difficult for Paulette. When she'd been a teenager, she'd taken on a range of jobs, but each one only felt like a temporary role, and her mind and heart were set on the stark white light bathing the stage as she waited for her chance to function as she should. Her pupils, friends, and hubbilicious Andy were adept at the mechanical nature of her day job, but as much as they marvelled at her for being able to choreograph, perform, and astound audiences, she marvelled at them for their ability to do the same thing every day without wanting to cry. Yes, pregnancy gave her thoughts to a profound level, and other such contemplations involved this following list. Just why Tammy was focused on Snickers more than, say, milk chocolate or rich mousse-filled treasures that her mother Agnes made. How Mary Lou managed to keep her eyebrows so preened and perform such athletic feats when she was in her 50s. How Lainey and Miriam were clearly besotted with each other, but only they could perform a dance routine, a raunchy one, while discussing onions. While Diane was having a wedding reception with Kerry, and why George didn't like waistcoat. Why Tracy was limping, yet sporting a smug grin, and how she managed to chew nicotine gum without gagging. How Gaynor was already snapping back into shape, her hair was back put to perfect, and Liza's hair, all three to five strands of it, were silky. How Janice single-handedly had rebuilt the entire structure of Squishy Garden Centre, and how Kerry had made a building site spotless while performing functions as a dental nurse. Why Glynis had taken back her husband who was trying to romance her with her own money, and just how an amazing woman like her had given birth to Trevor. How Hedges had managed to naturally grow hair that resembled a hedge when Holly jutted out of it, and how a lady so small wielded power tools three times her size without breaking sweat. Why her mother, the doting, cake-making, blue-rinsed, pink plimsolled Agnes, thought she could be delighted with her knitting baby booties. And, without much needed persuasion to think deeply about Andy, how could anyone be as gorgeous, as handsome, as fabulous in a dress, could hunk up any roof, steal any stage spotlight, smile with every genuine blue-hearted, big-hearted, sensitive, wonderful, and did you gather Paulette was in love? How anyone so absolutely sensational thought someone who couldn't cope with domestic duties or holding down a real job would be worth moving in with and having babies with. Yes, and Paulette did tend to drift off during class, mostly for sanity reasons, but if this was a baby brain, then clearly the mini Plim Ruby, as Andy had dubbed them, took after him, not Paulette. Usually her drifting off involved pretending she was still on stage and not briefing her intrepid dance group, who managed to eat more biscuits than perform routines. So, I've added you, Paulette glared at Tracy, who was grinning at her phone. When you're not busy, Tracy chomped on her gum and smirked at her screen until Tammy knocked her top hat off. Quit flirting with your fella, will you? You know Paulette gets grumpy, Tammy muttered at her, then waved in Paulette's direction until Tracy looked up. Sorry, Ricky was checking on my ankle, Tracy said and pocketed her phone. Did I get the steps wrong? We haven't started yet, Tammy said with a shake of her head, as if she'd never ever got distracted. Ooh, was that Snickers? I've added you to the routine, Paulette said, hearing her voice get that harsh edge. You're going to be helping Tammy to persuade Mary Lou not to leave Hedges. Hedges nodded with pursed lips. She's not allowed to do it, Trevor. Mary Lou snorted. Honey, you're the only gardener for me. I'm those kind of friends with her integrated sphincter system, Hedges said, then paused and raised her eyebrow. Well, that came out wrong. I ain't sure what you're doing with my sprinklers, honey. Just keep them going, because my lawn looks good enough to walk bare feet on. Mary Lou patted her on the shoulder. But my garden has that way with the girl when she provides manure. Paulette glanced at Andy, who had his cute smirk on, which usually meant he wanted to say something incredibly smutty, but wouldn't, because they were in class. Anyway, she said, hoping to move off Mary Lou's sprinkler system, you are now part of the show dance with Hedges, because you were a mean, hunky stud that Tammy left her husband for, and you treat Tammy badly, but she can't help herself. Tracy chewed more smugly. I showed her my Snickers. And the class sniggered between themselves. I could do with the Snickers. Tammy rubbed at her stomach. Colin is protesting because I needed to buy a smaller bra. He told me that I couldn't be his candy floss if I didn't have that much floss up top. I have inserts if you need them, Andy said with a nod and flapped his hand round in his extravagant way. Chicken fillets are always handy. Only if you stick rosemary on them first, Agnes said from her kettle behind Paulette. They work well with cranberry on occasions, but you could brown them up with a touch of a whiskey-based butter. Tammy rubbed her stomach again. That's healthy, right? She glanced at the others. It's not red meat or anything. Tracy, you are working with Tammy and Mary Lou. Move! Paulette narrowed her eyes, understanding why Gaynor had been scary when she was first pregnant. Sure, Mary Lou produced the rice cake from a bag in her pocket and waved it to Tammy. It tastes like it should be 1,000 calories. It's a special recipe. Tammy followed her, hypnotized, as Tracy pulled out her phone and did the same. Lainey, Miriam, you're working on the third section of the rumba. Miriam, you need to show the audience that you can't help yourself and Lainey has you smitten, Paulette said, hoping that would make their dancing less like somebody was performing a root canal. Miriam. Sweetheart, Lainey patted Miriam on the arm, but she was transfixed by a catalogue or a picture book of some kind in her hands. Put the X-ray studies down. Sorry, Miriam mumbled and shoved the book behind her back. I have a complex back molar to remove, and I can't keep asking Janice to just pop in and yank it out. Andy held his face, turned white, and hid behind George. I'm engaged, Ruby. You missed your chance, George said with a chuckle. Andy peered up at him. I'll remind you of that when I wear that split leg blue number next. Paulette fanned herself, as did George and Stan and Lainey, and to her surprise, Kerry. Janice peered down at her. I don't wear dresses. Kerry smirked up at her. No, but I'll take you to the show when Ruby goes blue and you'll understand. Andy batted his long eyelashes. How sweet you are. He smiled an appeasing smile. So, my lovely plimsoll, do Miriam and Lainey have the routine to go by? Paulette wagged her finger at him, then pulled Stan to her. Whereas, during this dance so far, you've been resisting, she held Stan to arm's length. In this section, you're all over her. She slid her hands up over Stan's shoulders and performed the climb step kick move. If you can resist molars during her rehearsal. Miriam pulled Lainey over and then performed the move exactly as Paulette had done, only instead of making Lainey blush and sweat like Stan was doing, Lainey smiled and pecked her on the cheek. Andy chuckled because he knew full well how much it bugged Paulette. You need that filling, don't you? She muttered at him and waved in Miriam's way. Even though you're so busy in work and have to keep cancelling. Andy folded his arms. Plimsoll, you were in fluctuation mode again. It's not good for Plim Ruby, is it? Filling, she shot back as Miriam chuckled and pulled Lainey over to practice. And there was plenty of room to practice, because Janice had built walls, helped Andy to redo the roof, and had laid a perfect, smooth, wooden flooring that shone because Kerry had used the floor polisher on it, or maybe had done it by hand. Paulette could never be sure with those two. We are working with Stan, saucy, Andy said, turning to Glynis as if he wasn't listening or wasn't bothered. We need to bring out his inner Ruby. Stan swallowed. I don't think I'm qualified. Andy tutted. You have taken to the wig, darling. It's a slippery slope. Glynis and Andy dragged Stan off into the corner as Paulette pretended to scowl after him. It wasn't the most convincing performance, a bit like Miriam's as she leaned into a seductive arched bend then asked Lainey if she'd remember to pick up more milk. Janice and Kerry, Paulette eyed, hoping they were more interested in class. I have a special dance for you. I wanted a comedic scene where the cleaner and the maintenance guy rework the blueprints for the jumpers to a Charleston. Janice puffed herself up. I can be a maintenance guy. Kerry nodded enthusiastically. She can. She's wonderful with the screwdriver. And she's wonderful with dusters, Janice said with such pride. Paulette nodded. Well, that's nice. A Charleston isn't an easy dance. It takes a lot of charisma to pull off. She gently showed them an example, throwing her arms forward and her legs back in a muted version. But it's always a crowd favourite. Janice threw her legs back and arms forward in an exact copy, but with complete daftness to the point she tipped her hat to Kerry and made her laugh. You're fantastic, Kerry said and clasped her hands to her chest. She flicked her feather dusters out and waddled in a twirl. My uncle loved the Charleston, and we used to watch the dancers do it. Paulette headed over to the paper with the instructions. We'll start working through it, and I'll be over to help. Kerry grasped the paper, then Janet, and dragged her off to the cleanest part of the room where the workbench used to be. Well, that was easier than Paulette had expected. Hedges, oh, stingy nettles, Hedges muttered and put her hands to her mouth. I knew he'd gotten his hair cut for a reason. Paulette looked to Gaynor and Liza, George and Diane. Translations? It's our anniversary, Hedges said and flapped her hands around as Agnes' kettle bubbled away. And I can't pretend that I'm doing what Ricky did because I haven't even bought him a card. He's forgotten too, probably, Gaynor said and patted her on the arm. Stan always forgets and keeps giving me anniversary gifts when it's actually when he needs to MOT the car. George sniggered. At least he didn't give you an MOT certificate when it's your anniversary. He chuckled to himself until Gaynor held his gaze. Your beard is growing again, she said, with a customer-friendly glare. George sucked in his chin and hid behind Diane. You won't let her shave it off again, will you? Diane leaned back and eyed him. You're not having a beard in our wedding photos, she tapped him on the lips with her fingernail. And if you forget, you'll be bald. George hid behind Agnes instead. What's our dance routine? Paulette rubbed over her baby bump as Liza started to grumble. You're waltzing with Diane, as you are the younger version of Stan and Janice, and performing a sweet romantic routine that will make the audience sigh. If you give them safety mats, Gaynor said, rocking Liza to and fro. I can't feed you in public. George will faint. George nodded. Breastfeeding is natural, Diane muttered at him. It's a beautiful connection between mother and her child. They're boobs, George said, then blushed and glanced over at Stan for support, but he was too busy swishing his hips and producing pouty lips. Andy, I need male support. Andy turned and peered over his shoulder. I'm remaining neutral because Ruby and I are in conflict about it. Paulette raised her eyebrows. You're in conflict with yourself? Yes, Andy turned and placed his finger to his lips. Ruby is with Diane. It's an essential bond that is a beauty to behold. And Andy, George said, nodding encouragement, is thinking I quite like boobs and I'm not sure how to pretend I don't fancy them. Andy shrugged at Paulette. I'm in conflict with myself, Paulette. Plimsoll, what can I say? Your beauty gets me a flutter. Gaynor eyed George. He's allowed to think that. They're moving in together. You're not meant to think that about other women. Stan pushed out his lips and flicked his wig hair. Unless they're as gorgeous as you. He nodded to George and winked at Gaynor. It's appreciation the same as when you all appreciate Andy on the roof. Andy snorted. Or in a slit leg dress. But back to the dance, Paulette said, hoping she didn't sound confused herself. Hedges and any ideas for presents, Hedges asked, that I can source from either this building site or Squishy if you let me pinch something. Tracy paused. Mid being Mr. Mean while cha-cha-chaing. Ricky could pinch something for you. I have a set of golf clubs which are engraved with for my sure shot. Any good? Hedges studied her. I'm tempted, but he can't play golf very well. He joined the golf club years ago and they banned him because he was more of a hazard than the water feature. But you would be dancing with Gaynor in class, and it's a swing number while you and Gaynor reminds you why you haven't run off with Stan. Don't want to run off with Dan, Paulette said, trying her best to keep her class focused on dancing. Here is the sheet. What about poetry? Stan asked as he swung his hips to the side violently and winced. Ooh, I clicked my hip. Glynis nodded. Mine are clicky too these days. I use glucosamine and cod liver oil. But what about dinner, honey? Mary Lou asked with a smile. You could try that new restaurant over in Stinkton. Andy chuckled. It's Tin Stickton, he said, then dabbed at his eyes with his fingers. We used to call it that in school. Tin Stickton? Mary Lou shook her head. You got real weird names here. It was called that after a factory that made stickers for tin items, like the labels on a spade, Hedges said in her tour guide voice. Although most items weren't actually made of tin, it's just that Metal Stickton was too long to spell. Mary Lou nodded, like she'd pull out a camera. Well, so take him there. He's not fussed on the mixed grill, Hedges said, then smiled at Stan. And he's been trying to recite poetry to me all day, and I just thought he was practicing for a customer. How about takeaway, then? I could rustle up something spicy and succulent. George puffed out his chest and eyed Gaynor. Give me that look all you like. You fancy my fried scones, and you know it. Tammy let out a sob. I fancy them too. I can't buy him a takeaway, Hedges said, although sounded desperate enough to try it. He plans his present and his card for months before, and he feels it's his way of keeping our relationship solid. Mary Lou mm-hmmed her agreement. He knows how to treat his lady. I say takeaway. You'd go for that, eh, Stan? George said while peering over Diane's shoulder at the dancing instructions he'd fluff up and hit safety mat at in the process. I would. I fancied a fried special with onions, Stan nodded, then patted Tammy on the shoulder as she sobbed. If you dance, I'll get George to fry a Snickers for you, Paulette muttered, then raised her eyebrows as Tammy launched into a frantic. Well, dancing wasn't quite the right term, but she was moving. We're not having fried food at the wedding reception, though, Diane said softly as Kerry stared over with panic in her eyes. You need to relax and enjoy being cooked for instead. George put his hands on his hips. No beard and you snub my food? The girls don't like grease, Janice said while flapping her hands and legs around with skill. They'll want salad. George waved it off. Kids today, you try to give them calories and they eat vegetables and tell you about exercising more. Diane nodded. Your niece, exactly. She's friends with Bailey, Kerry said with a doting smile. Our youngest, she nodded to Janice with another doting smile. Janice smiled just as dopily. Good kids, both of them. I think a wedding day should be traditional, Agnes said, of kettle and biscuits, while knitting away. We only had a small breakfast, and you didn't attend your own reception. You were off on honeymoon. Is knitting woolen itchy garments traditional? Paulette muttered, then sighed. She didn't know why her mother had knitted several pairs either. Oh, they are bootyful, Andy said with a chuckle. Oh, don't give me that look, plimsoll. I've been baking cakes for you and learning how to sew. I made booties once, Glynn said in a daze. And look what Trevor turned out like. Do you realise you're going to be maid of honour? Kerry asked while dancing with Janice in a way that Paulette wanted to go and ask them on tour with. I, Glynis touched her cheeks with her hands. Are you sure? I'd love to. Janice smiled, then paused mid-twirl to fix a stack of tiles ready to be put on the wall. Talking of Trevor, Hedges said, hopping about, I'm going to be living in the shed if my husband realises I've forgotten. Paulette looked over to Miriam and Lainey, hoping to see them hard at work, which they were. But as Miriam slid herself down, Lainey, she paused and looked longingly into her eyes. Do you still want lettuce in your bacon sandwich? She asked. Lainey stilled. Dunno. Might go for cheese. Or maybe those organic onions. Paulette stood up at the very well-constructed ceiling. Try dancing. It worked for Janice. Hedges cocked her head. I'm not sure he's into me in a suit. You need to work with something because he's just headed into the reception, Mary Lou shot from the hallway. Barney says he's kind of mad. Hedges looked up to Paulette. Help! Paulette sighed. She trudged over to Stan, took his wig and placed it on Hedges' head, then met Andy's eyes. Fillets and a split leg. In my bag, plimsoll, he said with a clap and hurried to his holdall. I have some lippy in here too. Mary Lou, go find something Hedges won't need to live in a shed for to afford, and you think Barney might like. Paulette fired it, and Mary Lou hurried off. Tammy, Tracy, slow him down, and I'll fry you two Snickers. Tracy grabbed Tammy, trapped Gracie, and yanked her out of the door. Glynis, teach Hedges this. Paulette held out a dance that they were supposed to be learning. Janice, Kerry, show him your routine. Then we'll go for a Lainey and Miriam routine, if they can ignore food discussions. He would like that. Paulette ushered the class into different positions. Diane, Gaynor, you just do the jive number in the background you learned. Stan, grab Liza and come up with some poetry. And Andy, she looked at him, you usher him in, sit him down with the dance. And George, she winced, you go find something that just resembles flowers. George grinned and hurried out. We're rehearsing, Tracy said in a terrible attempt at acting. You can't disturb us rehearsing. And Gaynor's breastfeeding, Tammy said. It's not polite. She was meant to be home for dinner. It's cold, Mr. Hedges sounded very upset. I borrowed the recipe from my mother too. Hedges screwed up her face as Andy and Agnes fought with the dress and the wig. Mary Lou hurried in from the store with a rocking chair. He always tells Barney how he wants one of these. But it's £2,000, Hedges whispered. I can't afford a £2,000 chair. It ain't too grand, honey. Mary Lou rolled her eyes, took a pen off Glynnis, who was pointing out dance instructions as Hedges nodded and glazed over, and then scribbled out the notes and nodded. It's $2. Hedges narrowed her eyes as Andy applied some eyeshadow. I want to see her, Mr. Hedges bustled in as George sprinted in the other way, and they both found the safety mat in a heap. George winced and held out a squished pile of daisies. Happy anniversary? Paulette nodded to Janice and Kerry. Go for it. One section. Glynnis threw a dust sheet over the rocking chairs. Mr. Hedges got to his feet, mesmerized by Janice and Kerry cleaning up, Charleston style. Mary Lou shoved him down into the sheeted chair as Andy moved Hedges behind the kettle. Mr. Hedges just stared. Paulette hoped he wasn't concussed, but then nodded to Lanium and Miriam as Kerry and Janice cleaned the floor with Kerry's duster. This is all very nice, Mr. Hedges tugged at his collar as Lainey and Miriam gave him a very sultry rumba. Well, sultry for them, unless somebody gave Lainey a bicycle. Paulette nodded to Stan. You played your keyboard and won me over, he said, with Liza gurgling beside him. You make me smile and feel so merry. He waved his hand around like he was really getting into it, and Gaynor rolled her eyes. It doesn't matter how much we are now older. He gave a dramatic pause and then smiled. I'm always delighted to wish you happy anniversary. Paulette held her breath and nodded to Hedges, who slunk out in her best ruby attempt. Dress slit to her thigh, chicken fillets aplenty, and she performed a very decent swing number to Agnes tinkling her kettle and teacups, and Andy singing a harmony with Paulette. Hedges stopped beside his chair and pecked her on the cheek as he stared at her like he'd been allowed to kiss Ruby in her blue dress. Happy anniversary. She yanked the bed sheets off the rocking chair, or even the dust sheets off the rocking chair, and slipped onto his lap and gave him a very rumba-worthy kiss. Sorry I missed dinner, but I wanted to surprise you. It's not our anniversary, Mr. Hedges said, and breathed out a spoon-filled breath. Then why were you angry? Hedges said with confusion on her face. I had the car MOT'd. You forgot to pick me up, he said, then smiled. Hedges let out a long groan, then slumped into a kiss anyway. Then you better count this as an early anniversary present. Mr. Hedges picked her up in his arms and got up from the chair. I'll say. I've always wanted a Hedges ruby. He carried Hedges out and Paulette wandered to the kettle, picked up her tea, and let out a long sigh. Well, as a performer would say, the challenge of a live performance was when you fluffed up. But the mark of a true artist was when they were capable of swinging it.